This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Niners know if they don't take care of Brock, they got to start all over again. And they know they don't want to do that, which it appears like they're doing it anyway, even though they say they're not. So I think that they take care of Brock, they pay him, and they move on to the next part of their plan. I just don't see them not paying him and letting him walk.
So when you say, yeah, Rich, thanks. When you say, when he says 35 guaranteed, I assume he's meaning that almost like on an annual basis.
Yeah, he said 62 mil, and I mean, I imagine he means per year.
Yeah.
And then he said 30, I think 32 or 35.
35, I think, is what he said. Yeah,
guaranteed, so, I imagine that's
so
also
so in other words, what
year.
He's saying is a five-year extension for $310 million with $175 million of it guaranteed. That's
something
the
like
math.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hot. That's hot.
That's more than more total or per year than Dak. That would be the highest paid quarterback.
But
wouldn't
it be? Yes,
ever?
But it'd be a yes, average annual. But it'd be much less guaranteed than what Dak and Josh Allen got. It'd be much lower. It would be only a tiny bit more than what Jordan Love got guaranteed. You know what's crazy? I think what Rich said is a little hot, a little high. But I don't think he's that.
I think he's
far
in the ballpark.
Off. Potentially. Potentially. Here's what I'm prepared for, and I know maybe, Grandy, you're not. I am prepared for that deal to happen at some point in the next 6 or 7 weeks, and I am prepared for everybody to lose their damn minds based on numbers, which I think is not the plan, but a part of the plan that you're watching the 49ers execute. Right now, today, it's a frustrating one. Feels like they're just saving money and they have a worse roster. It is my belief, though, that if you go player by player on everybody who left, for the most part, they are players who the 49ers felt were underperforming based on their price. And I know that people don't want, like we as fans don't want to look at that. We just want the player and screw the price. You're rich. Well, I invite you to then take that opinion to Brock Purdy. Do you want the player or not? That's the way I look at it. I do not think the 49ers are so stupid that they're going to sign him to any contract that prevents them from putting a good football team together. And as long as they don't do that, I don't care if it's 50 or 59 or 60. I really don't. I want Brock Purdy to be their quarterback. So do they. He's really good. He's really good. He's really good, in my opinion. And end of story. End of story. These things that people are throwing out on the internet, you're going to trade him. What was the one that I saw today? Trade Brock Purdy and your first-round pick to the New York Giants for three first-round picks and sign Aaron Rodgers. That was, and I forget, no, this was somebody legit who said this. I wish I could remember
That's
who it
stupid.
Was.
Don't say that
That's,
again.
It's like suicide. Absolute lunacy. Aaron Rodgers? The Jets just gave him their organization for 2 years for four wins. I don't understand the fascination.
He had a six-hour meeting with the Steelers today, and according to reports, it went well.
Yeah.
They're going to stay in touch, according to Adam Schefter.
Right.
Yeah.
When you go on a date and you leave it with, let's stay in touch, how did the date go?
Oh, not good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the let's stay in touch, and then you never hear from her again.
I mean, you're listening
That's
to 95.7.
That's happened to me a couple times.
I'm sorry. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live with the free Odyssey app. Now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Yeah, no, we should keep in touch and, you know, see if maybe down the road we can, I don't know, get a coffee
can
or
you
something.
You hit him with it. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Let's do that.
Oh, God.
About,
what's your Purdy take, though? Because you got way more reservations than me.
About Brock, and it relates more so to what's happened this offseason. It's not that I think Brock is a bad quarterback. Of course not. Brock is a good quarterback. He's better than the majority of quarterbacks in the NFL. And the price of paying or playing poker or for quarterbacks in the NFL is what it is. The market is what it is. You have to pay him that, and I get it. If the 49ers offseason, though, is a result of the contract that they're expecting to have to hand over to Brock. And the reason why, one, not letting people walk, not just letting people walk. Like, I think for the most part, I'm with you. Like, letting Hufanga walk, letting Aaron Banks walk, letting Jalen Moore walk. Like, all those things are what they are. They're not really good football players, at least not at that price point. So it would be bad business to keep them around for that money. I draw the line at Dre Greenlaw. I draw the line at just releasing Leonard Floyd and releasing Malik Collins. I thought those, considering what their prices were, they performed at an okay level, and I think those pieces leaving hurt. What I'm more pushed out of shape about is the lack of players that you're signing and that you're bringing in. Like, it's one thing to let overpriced players leave. Like, I was all on board with letting Debo walk. He's not worth that money. Okay, Debo, get out of here. We would have cut you. We got a pick for you. Better than nothing. But if what is happening with Brock Purdy's contract is the reason why the 49ers were unwilling to play ball in the free agent market at any sort of meaningful level, and you tell me if there wasn't $60 million being prepared to hand over to Brock Purdy every single year, that meant getting a better offensive line and actually having any defensive linemen and not having to rely solely on the draft to have any shot at being competitive this year, then I am open to the alternative, because I don't think Brock Purdy at that price point and what is left on the roster plus shots in the dark in the draft is going to be enough to legitimately compete this year.
I hear you, and maybe I'm being naive. I really don't think that's it. I'm not going to say it's not a contributing factor.
Well, then what? All they have left is the draft.
No.
All the good free agency players are
right,
gone.
I understand where you're coming from.
And everyone has draft picks.
What I'm saying is I don't think that what you're seeing from the 49ers is a direct result of the contract that they need to give Brock. I don't think that's it.
Okay, well, that might make it worse. Why the hell are they not spending money then?
Okay, I'll share this. I'm going to leave names out of it. But there is a, let's say, a football coach I know.
Okay.
Okay? And it turns out that football coach listened to this show.
Okay.
The week of NFL free agency. The football coach listened to what a lot of our listeners had to say in terms of expressing concerns about what those stupid, cheap 49ers were doing. And the football coach went, okay, let me see if I can take a look at what the 49ers are doing. So that football coach started to do a dive into the numbers, not just the financial ones, but the actual production of the players who were let go and then matched that up with the money that they were making and tried to look at the picture all the way through from top to bottom. And that coach walked out of that exercise saying, this is not me talking, so don't get mad at me. That coach...
Get ready to tweet this, Ken.
That coach walked away from that exercise and said, the listeners to that radio station don't know a whole lot about what's going on.
Yeah, but it's not about the players that left.
It is about the players
that left. It's about no one other than special teamers and a tight end, too, coming in.
But now you're getting mad at air because you still don't know who those people are. You don't know. I don't know. Those are...
They signed two Lucases.
They did not sign any Lucases. They signed two Lukes.
Whatever. Luke Farrell.
Look, I'll look right at the director of sports at this station and tell him that Luke is a way manlier name than Lucas. That's a fact. I'm sorry. To everybody named Lucas listening to the show, I didn't make the rules. Anyway, the point is, that football coach said, every single player that I watched them let go had a problem with either performance, age, or injury based on the amount of money that they were going to have to be paid. So the 49ers, in this football coach's opinion, are simply running a business the way business is run, which is I am going to look at every asset I have, I'm going to find the ones that are inflated and overpriced, and I am going to replace them with ones that give me either equal or better production for less money.
Okay, and that's all great.
That's how that was a no dog in fight football coach's take on what the 49ers have done so far.
Okay, that's all great.
Okay.
Get rid of overpriced, underperforming talent. I'm with you. And if Brock Purdy's contract isn't the reason for the lack of spending, what is the reason for the lack of spending? Did the 49ers think the entire free agent class also wasn't worth the money they were going for on the open market?
Maybe. Aaron Banks went for $77 million. Yeah. What's your take?
Not worth that.
Okay. So, I'm not telling you.
There are quality players out there that have been scraped up already.
I am not telling you that you're wrong. What I'm saying is, once we realize that process, which, by the way, John Lynch told the fans that's what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And then he followed up this week, if you missed it, and said,
We have a plan. Well, it's a bad plan.
Well, you don't know that yet. You gotta let it execute, and then you can pass.
It feels to me like their plan is just hope that they draft an amazing class.
And my response to that would be, I totally get on the surface why you feel that way, but it feels to me like you're calling the Niners dummies. Like, come on, that can't be their plan. They're not that. Now, you could say, look, right now, based on what we've seen, you're just lining the owner's pockets. That, to me, is a more fair criticism than, well, your plan is to just draft players and start them right away. They can't be that dumb. This has been a successful regime. There's no way that they sat down and that's the plan they came up with.
I hope not.
It can't be. It can't be.
It almost feels like they're... gap year is not the right phrase, but it almost feels like they're treating this year as the opportunity to financially reset and accept that this is going to be the least talented roster they've had in a while.
Do you buy or sell the idea that it in some way is either predictive or maybe it's Vegas sticking a fish hook in everybody's mouths? Do you know that the Niners remain the third favorite in the NFC at this hour?
Behind Lions and Eagles?
Yep.
More than the Commanders?
Yep. Packers, keep going. Favorite to...
I would not bet them.
Favorite to win the division, and it ain't close.
I might trust them to win the division, maybe, but I'm not picking them to win the NFC.
Well, if you trust them to win the division, I would say stand down. That's what I would say. If you actually feel like they're going to win the division,
maybe.
Then I'd say, what are you worried about?
The Rams and the Seahawks might be there.
I mean,
I would be more fearful of the Rams.
I just know this. How often do you watch a game and go, good Lord, how does Vegas know that? Something to think about, that's all.
Yeah, I'm sure the Niners were also the odds-on favorite to absolutely dominate the division last year,
yes,
and they went 6-11.
Yes, they were.
So they get it wrong sometimes.
They did, and so did the Niners, which I think is what they're reacting to. That's what they're reacting to. You know, they've openly stated, we pushed all our chips into the middle of the table because we thought we were within a breath of winning a Super Bowl. Turns out, we got a lot further away. And so we're not going to – why would fans ask us to push all our chips in the middle of the table again? I think that's what they're saying. Now, look, I'm not here to tell you that they're doing it right because I can't see how this ends. But I do think they've earned the, hey, we have a plan, we're not stupid. I think they've earned that. I will say that. No?
And they look pretty stupid right now. I'm having a hard time getting past it. Okay. I don't know how else they improve their roster other than just hitting home run after home run on their draft picks.
Well, I mean, look, the draft is always important, and they don't have a perfect track record, and so...
They have an okay track record,
okay.
Not a great one.
Yeah, so, I mean, a healthy amount of stress...
Last year was good. Like, 2 or 3 years before that, other than Brock, were very bad.
Yeah, so, like, I think that a fair amount of stress there is warranted. But, like, I don't think it's news that they're like, yeah, part of our plan is to, well, like, we need to find some talent in the draft.
Especially
this year, they've got the 11th pick.
The sticking point for me is it feels like the 49ers are saying, all right, we're veteran-laden, we're expensive, and to make it worse, our veterans who were expensive didn't perform well. So we have to kind of clean house. For whatever reason, none of the free agents out there are of interest to us, whether it's because they are worth too much or, who knows, we're saving money for something else and we don't want to spend it. For whatever reason, you're not spending it. And you're saying, all right, we trust that we have an advantage over everybody else because we have 11 draft picks and we're going to make the most of it and we're going to take a step forward compared to the rest of the league on the draft.
It's got to be deeper than that. It has to be.
For this coming season, I don't know what else there is.
There are a lot of things. By the way, there are still plenty of people out there. There's plenty of players still out there.
Oh, yeah, they were going to go and get Devontae Adams, and then they were going to maybe try to trade for T. Higgins.
And then
Myles Garrett asked for a trade out of Cleveland.
Yeah, but you're talking about the biggest names out there. And I was a fan of the Devontae Adams idea, too. But I could very easily see, I don't know, does this interest you? I thought this was kind of interesting. And again, it's just an odds thing. But Shapiro hit everybody earlier today with the odds on where Tyler Lockett signs. And the number one team on the board was the Niners. Does that do anything for you?
I mean, how old is he?
I don't know. Not that old. That's what I mean, though. There are players out there still who are good football players. And just because the initial wave went by, like, I do think there is something to be said for the fact that, like, that initial wave of free agency is usually where the overpriced mistakes happen. That's a fact.
It's also where the most talented players go.
No doubt. Tyler Lockett's 32. He's 32 years old.
He might have a decent year in him still.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would make them better.
Okay.
They need another receiver.
Okay.
No doubt.
And I actually, you want to know something that I think is... What?
Tell me.
Dude, I think Pierce Hall's going to be a stud.
Oh, okay.
I really do.
He better be.
Oh, you think he's going to be a stud.
Well, Brock Purdy's going to need him to be a stud.
I think he's going to be a stud. I really do. I got a gut feeling on Pearsall. I think he's going to pop.
The one thing I will defend the Niners on,
yeah,
and this is a really minor thing, but I saw so many people up in arms about this, Jordan Mason to Minnesota.
Yep.
They got a pick back for him.
They moved up from the 6th to the 5th, and then they got a 6th next year.
Yeah, okay.
I think was the deal.
Some late draft pick maneuver.
Yeah.
Whatever. You have Jordan Mason, who they would have had to sign to, not a big contract, but money.
$5+ million.
That all counts.
Yep.
And like it's all something. He's going to be your RB2 at the most. And he was good last year, and it's like specifically like the first 7 weeks of the year. But when you have McCaffrey... And you have a couple of, you have Garendo.
They like Garendo.
Might have been RB3, honestly. Yeah, you really like Garendo.
They like Garendo.
And this running back draft, please, for God's sakes, don't draft running back in the first three rounds. But there is don't do it in the first four rounds. Do it in the fifth, sixth, or seventh, please. There's so many running backs in this draft.
Just
draft one late in the draft. Make him your RB3.
Or don't draft him at all. Get an undrafted free agent.
You
That's
do
what
that.
Jordan Mason was.
And plug him in as your RB3 and save money there. So, like, there were so many Niner fans who I saw, oh, my God, we let Jordan Mason go. Why are we doing this? He was so good for us last year. He's going to be your RB3, most likely. And you have endless draft picks. You can just go and take a flyer on someone and have someone for way cheaper.
That made
sense to me.
Right, but as fans, we sit here and we go, dude, Christian McCaffrey's not healthy. And maybe he is. Again, like, those are the kinds of things I look at. And I look at your behavior and think, okay, because you know. The Niners know what's going on with Christian. We don't.
Oh, of course.
We don't. We're just like, well, that's scary.
I don't think they're that stupid.
Yeah, like, they don't have a reason, I would bet, right now to think that Christian McCaffrey is not going to have a great year.
And they need him to.
Yes, they do.
He doesn't have a great year. I mean, they're probably not going to win the division.
Yeah. Rick in Walnut Creek. Again, we're taking calls on anything that's been in your hip pocket, not Warrior-related, over the last few weeks that you want to get off your chest. Rick in Walnut Creek. Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling.
You know, I want to talk about the Giants, but I can talk about the Niners and Giants because the Niners are doing it right.
Okay.
Just like the Giants are doing it right. The Yorks are the Johnsons. Just be interesting enough. Niners know they're never going back to the Super Bowl. You might recognize me. I'm the one that calls Brock Purdy the duck fart thrower.
I do remember that, Rick. Do you honestly believe the Niners looked at each other? The flipping San Francisco 49ers all got into a boardroom and went, so we know we're never going to win a Super Bowl ever again, so let's behave based on that premise. That's really your take, Rick?
It is, because, look, it's an aging fleet what they have. So what they're going to do now is try to get it right in the draft. They've screwed it up. Moody, bad boy, right? So, you know, that's the problem. They're going to have to get it right in the draft, and that's for the future. And that's not guys like Warner and Juszczyk and Kittle, because they're not going to be around in 3 or 4 years. Or Christian McCaffrey, he's not going to make it 2 years from now. That's why I'm upset they got rid of Jordan Mason. But let's talk about the Giants.
Let's go.
They're going to be impotent. They're going to be below 500. I can't wait to go to Sacramento for the Bull Durham Knights. That's what I'm calling it. I want to see the Yankees there in Sacramento on a hot August night. That's going to be fun. All my buddies are talking about it. Those are the games we want to go to. I'm tired of being tricked by the Giants. Roll out Buster Posey, Baby Yoda night, and the great stadium, and you think that we're going to all go to the games and watch a team that's not even going to be a wild card. They've done nothing with their pitching staff. That's the biggest sin right there. Nothing with pitching.
They've done nothing with
pitchers.
How so, Rick? What do you mean they've done nothing with their pitching staff? What does that even mean?
Kyle Harrison, Hayden Birdsong, those are going to be starters. They're not going to get you anything. Landon Roop, right? Who's the best that we have? Who's the best pitcher we got? It's Logan Webb.
Logan Webb with the bullpen. Yeah, I mean,
Logan Webb is a star. He is a star.
Okay.
He is a stud.
Robbie, you're out on Robbie Ray. You're out on Justin Verlander. You're out on all of that?
I am out on Justin Verlander because look at his ERA last year. He's just too old. Robbie Ray, let's hope that he's going to be his Cy Young form. But again, probably over the hill and can't do it. But you need more than just two guys.
Do you want
something else? They didn't do it.
Do you want to bet that they have more wins than losses, and we could call it the duck fart bet, and whoever loses has to wear a shirt that says duck farts for like a week or something like that?
I got it better than that.
Okay.
The A's are going to have a better record. And it's going to be a better vibe going to a Sacramento night game like Bull Durham, watching all these major league teams have to go into Sacramento on a sticky night. And that's going to be the home field advantage the A's have, and they're going to have a better record.
Rick, what's the bet? I'll bet you on that. I'll take you up on it right now. You take the A's, I'll take the Giants. Better record wins. What do you got? What do you want to bet?
It involves Crazy George. If we're talking about the A's, it involves Crazy George.
Wow, I don't want to like loop some other man into this bet when he's not even here to talk for himself. Rick, do you want to put something on this or not?
You know what? I think he'll do it. By the way, guys, about Crazy George, he makes appearances, but he has to be paid. So I think that's part of it. If I win, you got to pay Crazy George to, I don't know, be a guest on the show. That would be wild.
Okay, Rick, all right, thanks very much. I like to be paid for my appearances, too. So I'm not going to hold that against Crazy George. I'm flabbergasted that Crazy George is still out and about doing his thing. Feels like it's been 113 years, and he hasn't changed a bit.
A's better record than the Giants.
Come on.
The A's have spent, actually, surprisingly, a lot of money this offseason.
I know. They've put a couple
things
out there.
Second they get out of Oakland.
Let's go Troy in the Santa Cruz Mountains, who would like to rebut the most recent caller. Hello, Troy.
Yeah, Willard, thanks. And, gentlemen, thank you again. I don't know where that guy's direction was going with regard to Johnson and the Yorks. And Mark, I'll hedge your bet with him with regard to the A's and why he's backing a Fisher-based organization. That's somebody that also is in San Jose and watches the earthquakes. That's a freaking nightmare. I just think that, to your point, Mark, they're going to free up the money, which they've done. The money that came off the books, right, was what had to be done to try to levy that. And, you know, they're going to pay Purdy, and that is the game plan, right? And then Lynch knows he's got 11 picks on the books. He thinks he's going to hit it out of the park. And furthermore, just real quick and pivot back to the Giants, the idea that the Sacramento A's are going to have more wins than the Giants this year is absolutely ridiculous.
I don't even know. Troy, thanks. Is it offensive to call them the Sacramento A's, or is it offensive that they won't call them the Sacramento A's?
Probably that they won't call them the Sacramento
A's. Yeah, like I get it that Sacramento.
They're just the Athletics.
It's like we're hosting you. The least you could do is put our name on it. But then again, at the same time, it's like a temporary thing and you actually want to go to Vegas. So I don't even know how locals feel about that. I haven't really talked to anybody about that yet.
They'll show up on your score bugs this season as ATH.
Right.
Not
Athletics.
OAK, not SAC, just ATH.
ATH. It's like the same thing that's next to a football recruit and you don't know his position.
Athlete.
So they just call him athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just means he's really fast.
ATH.
Doesn't have great hands, but is not big enough to be a running back. ATH.
ATH. Yeah. Let's go to, this is always one of my favorite callers, when we go to Morgan in Morgan Hill. Hey, Morgan.
What's up?
It's a lot of Morgans.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to defend Farhan Zaidi, but before I get into defending Farhan Zaidi, as a scapegoat.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Really, it's an unpopular
Well, no, I'm glad. No, you do it, Morgan. First. I tried it for 4 years, and I got so beat to hell. You okay. Take it.
Okay. So before I get into that, I just want to say, you know, I agree, you know, things run its course, and the Zaidi term ran its course. So, and I'm excited for the Buster Posey reign. But I want to just look back at, like, the last season, and we could even go further, but if we remember to the off season before last season, Zaidi's last season, all the signings that they had made, I think we were all really excited about them. You know, Jorge Soler, Jung-Hoo Lee, Matt Chapman, Robbie Ray, Blake Snell.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacid. Almacid is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacid. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There might be one or two in there that I'm missing. So the sentiment was we were all very excited and happy with the signings. But then what happened? Jorge Soler started the season in a 3-month slump. Blake Snell was injured. Jung-Hoo Lee injured the whole year. Robbie Ray didn't pitch till the very end. The only silver lining was Matt Chapman and some of the younger guys that we brought up, like Fitzgerald and Ramos. So I kind of just think that we blame Farhan too much when really we should be blaming the players.
Morgan, I don't think that's like the craziest take ever. Appreciate you, Morgan. I mean, nothing. Look, this happens in sports. You can't have an entire organization struggle both to find homegrown talent and get wins on the field and whittle that down to one person. That's not a thing. That's just not a thing. That's crazy. You can't do that with any of these franchises. Like last year with the 49ers, you're going to put that on one person? Who is it?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. Man, he's arrogant, he's smug, and he don't know how to call a play. Okay, whatever. Bottom line is you can't, like, no, it's not all on Farhan. And yes, I do think that the front office, in fact, I know this, the front office for a period of time last year was very frustrated, not with all of the players, but with certain players and their productivity. I'll give you some examples. Like, you see that story a couple of weeks ago when Blake Snell came out and was like, they didn't even call me. Guess what, Blake? You're right. They didn't. They didn't like you. Doesn't mean they didn't like your pitching talent, but they didn't like you, dude. They did not like you. You sold them down the river in their opinion. You showed up late. And then you took your time getting to the field, and then there were multiple times throughout the year when you were on the field and you asked out.
And then at the end of the year, you refused to pitch.
You wouldn't pitch. And Buster Posey does not think that you're his kind of guy. That'd be my guess. So, yeah, they didn't call you. It doesn't mean they think you stink. You're a phenomenal pitcher.
Just means they didn't want you.
But you're not their kind of culture person right now. So, yes, there was from Jorge Soler's double play balls to Blake Snell's approach to the game we could go to a few other players. Camilo Doval, for sure. What the hell are you doing out there? What do you mean you won't go in certain scenarios? What, you've been in the big leagues for a year and a month, and now you're calling the shots? Like, there was a lot of that stuff. And so I do think the front office looked to some of the players and was like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? But also, of course, the front office bears a lot of the responsibility based on the tone they set, the approach they took, all kinds of things over the last 4 or 5 years, trying to remove history, leaning too far into analytics, and telling players they were going to have one role and then doing another. All of these things, they all helped each other disappoint. They all helped each other disappoint. So it's never, you know, was Farhan scapegoated? Yeah, probably a little bit, but he definitely made plenty of missteps.
It's also what you sign up for when you're the leader of the organization.
Of course.
And
of
when you talk about players that maybe aren't, I don't know, culture fits or aren't buying in or whatever, like the person in charge of constructing the roster and putting those players on the team and on the field in the first place deserved a little bit of blame for it not fitting in the first place either. I mean, so much of free agency is meeting with the guy and vetting him and talking to other people that you know around the league and figuring out if you think he would be a good culture fit with you. The where I maybe feel a little bit for Farhan, specifically last offseason, that felt like a make or break offseason, and it was, Farhan, sign people, get talent in here, or else you're done. So he did that, but weren't very good for whatever reason. It didn't work out. But it's kind of like the plus-minus stat in basketball. Over the course of one game, misleading. Over the course of 20 games or over the course of multiple seasons, that means a lot. And over the course of multiple seasons, everything kind of added up as, well, Farhan not quite the right guy.
One last thing on the Giants is this, and I don't know what this is going to turn into, but I do think it's a good thing. You know how we talk about Steve Kerr and his rotations?
Yeah.
And how the trade kind of made it clearer that everybody was like, okay, I kind of know what to expect tonight. I know what my role is. Steve knows. I'd like to go to Guy Santos in this situation, not Guy Santos. How about Quentin Post in that situation over there? He kind of knows what's going on. The Giants last year at this time were a complete mess in terms of knowing who was what, who was where, and exactly what was going on. Remember now, go back to last spring. Blake Snell has just arrived. Matt Chapman was not that much before that. And Marco Luciano was going to get a chance to be the everyday starting shortstop. That's what was happening in spring.
Back when I still had optimism about Marco Luciano.
And then the season started, and everyone's like, what the hell's going on? Why isn't Blake ready? Then we're sending Marco out, and the fans are like, wait a minute, you said Marco was going to start. And the Giants knew some things that obviously they didn't want to say publicly. They're like, turns out he's got cement blocks on his hands, so we probably shouldn't start him. And he's also not ready to hit. All of these things are happening behind the scenes. Flash forward to this year. I could go back 4 weeks from now. The Giants knew exactly what their plan was. I'm not saying it'll work, but they know exactly what's going on. We need to find a fifth starter. That's it. And we need to figure out if we're like platooning right field. That's it.
And first base.
No, I think they know what,
a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a perfect answer, but they're going with it. There's no like, are we signing someone? Or what? Like, there's none of that. Buster Posey said it 6 weeks ago. He's like, we're done. This is what we got.
Yeah, he told you guys, basically.
Yeah, so continuity, from that standpoint, I think they're in a much better space to start this year.
To wrap up this Giants conversation, to throw back to your bet with, I forgot our caller's name, Morgan?
It was Rick and Walnut Creek.
Oh, Rick.
Yeah.
A's over-under win total, 71.5.
Giants?
Giants, 80.5. So you have a nice little edge there.
Gosh. Vegas still thinks 500 team, huh?
Depending on where you shop, 79.5 elsewhere. But 80.5 is the consensus.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Unbalanced schedule, right? Like, they're playing the Dodgers the same number of times that everybody else is playing the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
I think they're going to win more games than they lose.
Okay, lock it up. Willard says over 80.5. I've been tricked before. I'll go under.
I mean, it's probably a no bet.
I
would rather wait and watch them play for a second, and then if it goes up to 82.5, like, I'm still, like, I'm okay with that.
I will.
Let's watch them play for a second.
What I will say is I have a little bit more faith in the Giants plan than this Niners plan.
Ooh. See, but you know why? It's because you can see it.
Yes, I can see it.
You
it's not great, but at least it's a
yet.
Plan.
But you can't see it yet.
Because it might not exist.
Oh, well, of course it exists. Like, honestly, sometimes I feel like y'all act like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are Dr. Evil. and they're like in the back room, some
How are you?
No, but like, come on, they're not stupid.
I know they're not stupid, okay. But it doesn't mean that they're not looking at this season as all right. Let's reload and get ready for the following year.
You can disagree with them, but you don't call them stupid. Don't think that the Niners...
You're the one that brought up the stupid word. I never called them that.
Well, like, you're sort of suggesting they have no plan.
It sort of feels like they're not trying everything possible to try to win football games this year.
I think they have.
And there could be business reasons for that.
Well, every decision, like, is made on its own. So...
It feels to me like this season is being treated as an opportunity to financially reset and gear up for 2026.
I think,
and they hope that they can be competitive this year, but they're not feeling like we have as good of a chance as we will next year.
I think there is a financial reset. I don't necessarily buy that it's, we're playing for 2026. I think that there's a financial reset involved in there, and certain decisions might help this year a little bit more than next, but I don't know that you ever do that, where you plan for, like, we're going to be good in 2027. Yeah, there's a little bit of a financial reset in there, but you try to win every year. Like, you don't think the Niners are trying to win?
Well, yeah, to an extent. They're not trying to win as much as they tried to win last year.
All right.
I don't know how you could could possibly think that.
No, the point is, though, is it always the right bet to push all chips in the middle of the table?
I just wanted to push any chips in the middle of the table.
I'd argue no. I'll give you the example.
Not all, just some.
Sometimes you lose the Super Bowl in overtime and you want to push all the chips in the middle of the table.
They did that.
Other times, Dan Dibley calls you with a pick. I ain't pushing all my chips in the middle of the table.
Quite kind of shame. I'm not 18 and a half.
I'm not telling you to go all in with 7-2 off suit.
But that's what they're doing. You're like, they're not going all in because they just did that and they got burned. They lost. They lost their money. They went 6-11. So, like, why would you want them to do it again? You know what I'm saying?
You got, Jack and a 7. See the flop. Put a little bit in. Don't just fold immediately.
Wait, I got Jack and a 7, and then you want to see the... Are we playing blackjack or poker?
Poker.
Oh, okay. Jack and a 7? Yeah, we'll see the flop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So put something in. You're not going all in immediately.
Well,
you might got something if you can, put a little bit of money into this thing.
Brother, I'm not, defending anything I can't even see. It's March 21st. It's March 21st.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
Right.
For them to piss me off even more.
It's like a little early for the crazy stress, no?
They draft a running back in the 3rd round. I'm like, oh, God.
Dude, they don't have a game for 6 months.
The draft is next month.
Right. They'll be there.
They better go D-line, D-line, O-line, D-line, D-line, O-line.
Or else.
Or else I'm going to be real angry.
Oh, here comes Grandy.
Yeah.
Here comes Grandy. All right, back to the Dubs. Let's go to David in Concord. Hi, David. What are you doing?
All right, guys. So, fantasize with me for a little bit. I'm an extreme optimist, and I'm going to give you my optimism and hope you go with me. The Warriors are 9-1 in the last 10. The Grizzlies, Lakers, and Nuggets are all 5-5. If that repeats in the next 10, the Warriors are in the 3rd pole position. Tell me what you think, and I'll take it off the air.
Okay, Warriors, David in Concord, here's what I think. I think it's very unlikely that things like that repeat themselves.
Yeah, probably.
Like, why
not.
Would they? And by the way, I'm not sure if you saw Steph Curry's hurt. So
Warriors could still go 9-1 in their next 10.
They could. I'd bet against it. I'd bet against 9-1 no matter what the scenario ever always. Do you know how hard that is? And by the way, you're starting 6 on the road. And you want them to go 9-1 in the next 10?
Let's just say they go 9-1.
They're at L.A. in 2 weeks and back home to Denver 22 hours later?
Yeah, they can't beat Denver no matter what.
I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Let's just say they go 9-1.
I'm not here to tell you they can't, but yes, I'd bet against it.
Let's say they go 9-1.
All right.
I guarantee you the Nuggets, Lakers, and Grizzlies are not all going to go 5-5.
No.
Well, one of them might.
No,
and maybe you jump up to the 5.
The Grizzlies might. The Grizzlies are not very good. I don't think, and they're hampered by injury. Triple J is just back a couple of games ago. Jaw's out again. They cannot consistently stay on the floor.
And if I'll keep it real for a sec,
yeah, keep it real.
You shouldn't root for the Nuggets to lose
You should root for the Nuggets to win so they be the two and the Rockets fall to the three.
Sure.
So that's what the Warriors want at the three.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
Either the Nuggets or the Lakers need to win a lot of games the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Not both. One of them.
I'll totally buy that.
Because you want Houston three.
Houston or Memphis.
Yeah. And Memphis is probably not going
to
be three.
Absolutely who I would love to see. All right. This segment is sponsored by Ceramani Ford. And we're also fresh off of what we thought was just an absolute blast down at Splash just outside Chase Center last night as we got ready for Warrior basketball. And that was all brought to you by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. And yeah, bring on the weekend. But we're not quite done yet. Still some time for your calls, 888-957-9570. Just for fun, okay? If you could swap out Jimmy for Steph tomorrow night. Like, let's actually run a test. Do you feel more comfortable with Jimmy in and Steph out, or Steph in and Jimmy out? If you could trade Jimmy for Steph tomorrow, would you? 888-957-9570. Grandy's in for dibs. Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're heading into a weekend of a whole lot of college hoop watching. And obviously the Dubs tomorrow afternoon as they start an East Coast road trip, or a road trip that will start on the East Coast. Going to move all over the place. Hawks and no Steph. And I asked you this earlier, if you could swap injuries and put Steph in this game tomorrow night, but you lose Jimmy, would you do it? And you surprised me a little bit by saying yes.
I don't know how that's surprising. We're talking about Steph freaking Curry here.
I know, except for...
Don't be disrespectful.
No, not disrespectful, but sort of expecting everybody to be a prisoner of the moment, which is that we've seen this Warrior team without Jimmy, and it's not very good. And then we've seen this team when Jimmy's on it and there's no Steph, and it still holds it together pretty well. So, again, these are all small sample conversations, and by no stretch am I saying that anybody other than Steph Curry is the most important or best player on this team. But there could be something stylistic here that lends itself to the team being a little bit more equipped when it's Steph that's out as opposed to Jimmy. I don't know. That's what the data would suggest.
Yes, 7-3 without Steph.
And
that
without
was before Jimmy.
And
really.
Right, since Jimmy has arrived, like not only have they only lost twice with him, you know, like the one time that we saw him without him was their worst game.
Yeah.
And they lost in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And Quentin Grimes scored 1,000 points. So, but you said you had a reason that was like maybe different than the one we thought.
He loves playing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He dominates Atlanta, specifically in Atlanta.
It's a fair point.
I don't know what it is about that arena, if it's about the sight lines behind the backboards or I don't know. I have no idea why, but he tends to. You wouldn't switch it, though. You think they have a better shot to win without Steph than they would without Jimmy?
Well, okay, what if I threw it at you with an equally sort of off-the-roadmap answer, which is if I did go to what people say is the potential blessing in disguise, I don't really buy it, but this time of year, if I'm going to have somebody have to sit for a couple of games and get rest, I would rather Steph gets that than Jimmy.
Okay, I hear that.
Steph's played a lot more basketball and has had a lot more on his plate this year than Jimmy Butler has. So at least I'm getting that. If I can't have him in the game, at least I'm getting that for Steph Curry, and I'd rather he has it than Jimmy Butler right now.
I hear that. I guess I was thinking more of it in like a vacuum as opposed to anything. But yeah. Steph needs the rest more than Jimmy does. There's no doubt about that.
We want to go back to the phones. Want to remind you that the college basketball tournament's underway, and you can stay up to date on all the tournament action via our bracket challenge on 957thegame.com. And then tune into KPIX Game Day Center Court after the games at 9 p.m. each night. You get highlights, plus you see all of our ugly mugs. Some of our 957 The Game hosts will share their thoughts on the tournament. Guru was on last night, and I'm... I'm hope. Oh, do we? Do we have the audio?
Oh, please.
How long was it? How long is the audio clip?
It's like 25 seconds.
Oh yeah. Let's hear a little guru.
Let her rip.
KPIX.
Don't let Steiny shove you around. Okay, we'll be listening tomorrow, 10 to 2.
You know what, Vern? Real quick on that, I have older men, younger ladies come just give me a hug, and we hadn't even met. And I'm like, what's that for? Who passed? What happened? That's Steiny. He's a funky, and he's a good friend, man. So that's too funny, but he's my guy, man.
Good stuff, man. Looking forward to listening to the banter.
Okay, the great
Shout out Vern Glenn.
The great Vern Glenn with Guru there. Why did Guru say it's older men and younger women that come give me a hug? Did anybody else get like a little uncomfortable there?
I don't know the context.
Why wouldn't you just be like, yeah, there's
people,
or if you want, like, yeah, there's men and women who come up and give me a hug to make me feel okay about the way Steiny treats me. But he was very careful to be like, it's older men and younger women.
If
it's younger men, is that like pause? Like, is that not okay with you?
I have no clue.
And what if it's older women? Give grandma a hug, Guru. Come on. Older men and younger women.
Oh, Guru. Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Before we go back to the phones, how about Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area? I'm pretty sure that Quentin Post and Draymond Green took care of this donation by themselves last night.
Six for QP, five for Draymond?
They did it. All you need is 10. The Warriors made 19 threes last night. It's another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Quentin Post, six. Draymond, five. Pods had three, and others chipped in. That's donation number 46 this year. For Triples for Autism. We'd love for you to donate and get involved. Go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. John in Vacaville. Hey, John. Thanks for calling.
What's up, fellas? So I want to talk about Steph and Butler. So if you trade Steph in for Butler, the chances of us winning will either blow them out or will be blown out, because that's just what happens. If he gets locked down, we will get blown out if we don't have Jimmy on the inside. Secondly, if we want a close game and a chance to win the whole time, I think we just need Jimmy in there, because he'll keep it close and the free throws will mount up to a lot more points for us. And it'll be a boring game, but it'll be a game.
Yeah, John, I think you're actually onto something here. Like, this is kind of the way that I would say it. And thanks, John. I would say it this way. If you're with Steph in there, it's a little bit more of a boom or bust type of a game. Mm. Steph's the one who has the ability to put up 45, 50 points. If he does that, obviously you are very, very dynamic. But if his three-pointer's not falling, and at times the last few weeks it hasn't been, then you become a team that really struggles to have a good offensive possession. Jimmy, less dynamic, but I think your floor is a little bit higher, because if all else fails, Jimmy gonna go get you two free throws. And yeah, he can hit those.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're more volatile with Steph than with Jimmy. Steph's last four games in Atlanta: 30 points, 37 points, 31 points, and 60 points.
Ooh.
Yeah. He likes that arena.
Wow.
I'm telling you, in his career, averaging 32 points per game.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
That's a big number. Okay. I mean, that's a fair take, no doubt. Will in Berkeley next up. Hi, Will. What are you doing?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I agree with the last caller, you know, and I've also been talking to older women and younger men about this.
Okay.
And I feel like part of it...
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Part of it is that, you know, you have Draymond as the floor general, but now with Jimmy on the floor, you have two floor generals. And I think with Steph is constantly moving and grooving, so you don't really have him as the sort of the definer of, here we are setting up a system or setting up a play. And so I think, you know, with two floor generals, I think you're going to have a little bit more kind of creative passing, creative shooting, as opposed to more points on the board with Steph. So again, even with Steph gone, I think we'll be okay because you have some good men on there.
Yeah, look, I think. Well, thanks. I mean, it's a here's another piece of the puzzle, which is probably not fair, but I'm a fan, so we get to look at it this way. We've watched a lot of Warrior basketball that has Steph and no Jimmy, and it frustrated the hell out of us. We haven't watched a lot of basketball with Jimmy and no Steph.
Yeah.
You know, like we are still knee deep in the Jimmy Butler honeymoon. So, like, to imagine him not playing right now is uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't thinking of it in anything more than just all right, tomorrow is in Atlanta. What player helps you win more?
I mean, I get, your take is fair, and it's Steph. So, like, hello.
But I also hear you. One, Steph does need more. He could use the rest more. And two, just from a fan perspective, I'm interested in seeing if Jimmy can keep it up. I mean, he had a triple-double last night.
Yes, he did, but it was a fake-ass triple-double.
Why? Because he only had 13 points?
No, that's what Buddy Hield said. I don't know why.
Oh. Yeah.
He walked by him.
He and Buddy have a real interesting relationship.
Like, it's all tongue-in-cheek, but it's hysterical.
Jimmy making fun of him because Buddy is spelled B-U-D-D-Y. Yeah. Jimmy, your name is spelled J-I-M-M-Y.
That's a fair point. I thought Jimmy did have a good point, though, that he's like, you don't pass enough to ever get a triple-double.
I mean, that's fair.
You also don't get enough minutes to get a triple-double.
Sometimes you don't score enough to get a triple-double.
You're not good enough to get a triple-double.
Did you know that the only two triple-doubles for the Warriors this year are both Jimmy Butler?
I did not.
He has both of them. And he's been a Warrior for a month and a half.
Draymond doesn't have any 10-10-10s?
Nope.
None?
No, neither does Steph.
Well, he's not usually a 10-rebound guy.
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Every once in a while.
And he's not normally a 10-assist guy either, although sometimes.
All right, my friend. Good stuff this week.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was a ton of fun. And who knows? We'll see if Dibs gets back safely. So maybe we'll do it on Monday as well, but not sure. All right. Fox Sports Radio is coming up next. Thank you for all the engagement and the fun that we had all week long. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Everybody enjoy the hell out of the weekend. Jimmy Butler's return to Miami coming up early next week, so we will be all over it. All right. Let me make sure. With all the names out, let me get this right. For Grandy, for Ken, for Steven, and not for anybody in Vegas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.